Hello, welcome to the Value Script. Once again, I'm your host, Lonnie Carmichael, and you have the lovely Meredith Carmichael here as well. Who's looking super lovely today, by the way.
Thanks, babe.
Have I told you that yet today?
No, but thank you.
You're welcome.
I'll clip that.
Make me look good, brother. Make me look good. Addy, do you need? All right. Last time we left you on a little cliffhanger. We said we would discuss in further our marriage, our relationship, and describe kind of how what we went through and how to get there. And we didn't really give you much tactical advantage or advice for what you could use that day, but we will this day, and we're going to focus more on that today. I think in order to truly speak to the depths of what we went through and what happened, we're probably going to need, again, to hook you into another episode and cover that another time, because we need to dedicate some time to marriage, relationships, counseling, and those types of things. One thing I will say, though, is that as we were young, newly married, and not, we didn't have any other reference. We've never been married before. And so we didn't know. How do you do it right? Nobody knows how to do it right. Yeah. You know, it's like one of those things you like, you know, it's empirical. You learn as you go. And
goes back to last episode when you said it takes the first step.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. The first step is the first step you take needs to be the step that you believe in. Right. And we knew, and that was getting married. Right. The next step is, all right, what in the world's going on with this thing? You know, it's great to be with somebody you love all the time, but then you're with them all the time, and there's intended and unintended things said and felt. And that was what we realized through what we know now has been years of counseling, is that there were things done that I would do to Meredith, or Meredith would do to me, or just even through living our life, it wasn't even an intentional thing that we were doing things other, but just through the course of living and being married and having a relationship where you would do something and not even realize.
Stay into the mic.
Oh,
you're good. You're good.
You would do something and I would, and not even realize that I felt unloved by that action. And I, coming from a beautiful passive aggressive family, never said anything about that and didn't even know how to speak up about it too, because one, I didn't want to hurt your feelings. I loved you. And I always loved you. That never changed, even though some of my actions may reflect another narrative. And as far as where things went in the end, not in the end, but 2017, that wasn't a great time for us. And really neither was 2018 or 2019 or 2020. In 2021, 2021, we started coming out of it. And now it's 2022. We started this year probably the greatest we've ever started. And one of the reasons for that was we did 75 hard. And so I want to talk about that today. But before we jump into that program, I just wanted to say I realized the need at some point. I was serving at the apex of the problems of our marriage. I was serving as a bishop for a church and ended up in a mental health state that was pretty bad because of the stress of the calling, the inadequacy I felt being a leader of a church in that capacity. And I was put into a role as counselor that I should never have. And sometimes that was of my own not knowing any better and trying to help people out. Out of the goodness of my heart, I ended up getting into a counselor role that I was not qualified for, nor was I prepared for, nor should I have been in. And that led to some unintended consequences of transference of emotions and relationships, and my mental state was stressed enough to where I ended up breaking some of my own boundaries that I never even thought I would ever break, or doing things I never thought I'd be capable of. And I remember there was a counselor that I referred a lot of people to because I knew she was great and she would give them great advice. I remember one day calling them, and I called Terry, and I said,
who's Terry?
Terry, what's their counseling? Westside? Westside.
It's not Westside. It's West Valley.
West Valley
Counseling Services.
Counseling Services.
That doesn't seem right either. I'd have to look it up. I can't remember for sure.
I'll do it in the background.
I believe it's Terry Cole. Terry Cole's
Terry
her name.
Terry Cole and...
Yeah. She was the counselor that I referred everybody to. And then she had a partner named Tony Durda, and they worked together. And I called Terry one day and I said, Terry, this is at the time. I said, this is Lonnie Carmichael. And she said, Bishop? As a question, I said, yes. She says, why are you calling me? And I was like, well, this time I'm calling for me. And she says, okay, what can I do for you? And I said, I need you to help me save my marriage. And she took a pause for a minute and she said, well, what's going on? And I went into the lion's share of the issue of some of the addictions that I had formed, coping with the poor mental state I was in, but I needed her to help me not be addicted to somebody any longer because it was destroying me, my wife, and our life. And that started years of counseling that has been very healing, very revealing, helped us understand more of who we are and really where we were. But what I wish I had done and what I wish we would have done, I wish somebody would have been wise enough to tell us, after you've been married for 5 years, go to counseling. Even if you think things are fantastic, just go get a marriage tune-up.
And there's kind of a stigma with that, a negative stigma. Like, I don't know if all people feel this way, but I certainly felt like counseling's for people that are broken, people that have major problems, people that are struggling with addiction or, I mean, whatever, you know. And I never viewed it in that way that, like, hey, this could keep us out of trouble, rather than trying to prevent a problem rather than, I don't know.
In the beginning, I hid for my anxiety. I went to therapy. I hid from everybody that I was going to therapy because it was that stigma of
100%
of, well, you don't want to seem like you're a broken person. So
Totally. And I think it's one of the reasons I wanted to start this podcast so we could talk about mental health on this show. And I'm not a mental health expert. I am only an expert on me. And I'm sometimes not even an expert on that. Right. But I have been through a lot of mental health problems and have felt like overcome them fairly successfully. And I have some friends that have been through some really bad things and had some great outcomes. And so tactically talking about how to be out of those things is really where I want the focus to be, not just another problem share fest or my life's worse than yours. That is definitely what I don't want this to become ever. Because I have a phenomenal life and I want to talk about one of the things I do want to definitely discuss is why I feel I have such a blessed and wonderful life. But again, you know, like when in the early days of our marriage, we never even thought about going to counseling when things just felt a little off, because anytime you heard about, hey, so-and-so are in counseling, if you'd hear about your friends, oh, they're in counseling, you're like, oh my gosh, I feel so bad for them, because that the assumption there is they're at the end of their relationship or they're at least at a fork in the road, so to speak. And if they don't get through this, they're not going to last. Mm-hmm. Right. And so there's that negative stigma of like, oh my gosh, they're in counseling. Right.
It was the greatest thing I ever did.
Right. Like, why isn't it celebrated? Like, yeah. Oh my goodness, they're taking steps to try to get out of whatever they're dealing with. Mm-hmm. You know, like it's an accomplishment. Yes.
Yeah. Yeah. It's having the strength to be able to go to therapy when most people are just, they won't go because of that stigma.
Right. Well, again, it's that first step. It's the one you believe in. Right. So, again, to quote the Shinedown song, one of the greatest bands of all time, by the way.
I'm going to make that the intro song.
That's a fantastic song.
Do you know the name of it?
Follow you down.
Follow you down.
Yep.
Follow you down.
Follow you down. I'll follow you down, I think is what it's called.
Okay.
Yeah. I'll follow you down by Shinedown.
I'll see what I can do within the copyright.
Right. Yeah. <it's>, yeah. Let's have them on the show. Let's talk about it.
Yeah, exactly.
Fantastic.
Shine down. This is your invite.
Right. Here we go. Come on, Brent. All right. You know, that I'll Follow You Down has kind of become our theme song, right, for our relationship. And for better or worse, it's it's kind of the decision Meredith had to make and to stay in our marriage. But again, you know, going back to mental health, like, we are almost expected as a society to put a ton of time, effort, and energy into our physical appearance, right? And if you don't, it's looked negatively upon, right? If you don't go to the gym regularly or exercise regularly, you know, there's a lot of, it's totally expected to have a membership to a health club of some kind, mm-hmm. right? It's totally expected that you go to the doctor regularly, right? And so those are all things for really largely your physical body, and your physical body does directly affect your mental health, but there's not the same focus in our society. And in fact, it's incredibly stigmatized the other way towards mental health. It's, you're not encouraged to seek out mental health wellness. And most people don't even understand what that means. What does it mean to have mental wellness? You know, and how important is something as simple as just a daily morning routine, being consistent in your daily morning routine? You wake up at a regular time. You give yourself enough time every day to exercise every day. Find a way to be in sunlight every day. Find a time, at least 20 minutes or so, for quiet reflection and meditation. Find time to feed your brain healthy material, whether it's a podcast such as ours, or whether it's an awesome book that you're reading, or whether it's wonderful music that you enjoy, or whether it's a hobby that you have that is constructive, like playing a musical instrument or building things or doing service for others. We need to make those things that keep our mental state healthy, routine, celebrated, and almost expected, because so many of us need that. And I came to a point in my life, and it was in our marriage, in our relationship, where we really couldn't go on any more the way it was. Mm-mm. You know, at the end of the year last year, when we shot Connecting with Christina's podcast, we were in a fairly decent place, and things were better than they had been for the last 3 years. And then, honestly, I started drinking too much, and I was drinking to cope. And I would always tell myself that I wasn't. And, you know, for all the Mormons listening, they just swerved off the road and spilled their diet soda. I was going to say, you know, normal people. Now I just normal made them all people. Sound like they're not normal people too, right? But what I was going to say is other people would have, they would have just spilled their coffee as they heard that. But, you know, I started taking on some very self-destructive, unhealthy habits as coping mechanisms. And at first I would justify it by like my cousin, my dear sweet wife set up an intervention with my best cousin. And I had no idea. And it was well-intended and it was loving. But I've had two interventions in my life. This is how bad this got. And both of them have been horrible experiences. So be careful how and when you deploy interventions. But my cousin, through the course of that conversation that night when we met for dinner, he says, why don't you just get on some Xanax, you know, or why don't you just take some benzos, right? If you got mental issues or if you have depression. And I was like,
I wish somebody could have seen my face.
Right.
Coming from somebody that has dealt with anxiety and been on Xanax before and how addictive benzos are and antidepressants. Like I take an antidepressant every day, but it's Effexor. Mm-hmm. I take Effexor for anxiety every day, but to just blatantly say, why don't you try Xanax?
Right.
It's not just something that just,
cause he was trying to say instead of drinking, you know, gotcha. Because culturally drinking is taboo for us.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
And, sure. And really, it should be taboo for everybody. I don't know that there's one thing that alcohol really makes your life better with.
So destructive. Even it, not even just from like your health, but also emotionally and mentally and depressive it can be. And it just really is toxic. And
it's one of those things. I remember Shakespeare said alcohol is the great mocker because it makes people think that they are invincible while it robs the man of the power to be so, you know, and I think that was Shakespeare. That may not have been, but anyway, we'll look that up and we'll fact check that so that you guys don't have to be fact checked Nazis on top of this.
What was the quote again?
Oh man.
Put you on the spot. Put you on the spot.
Correctly again.
Hey, that was pretty good for off the top of your head, though.
Something about alcohol being the great mocker, that it gives man the power to think that he's invincible while stripping him of the ability to be so. And, you know, it really, not only while you're drinking it, is there an effect? And this is what I didn't realize But the next day, there's still an effect. I can't think clearly, as clearly. And it's dramatic. And it takes 2 to 3 days of not drinking for that, for my brain to not feel cloudy and heavy any longer. And it, the main quote was in the movie, The Knights of the Round Table. It's an old 80s movie, if that helps. But anyway, so at the end of the year, New Year's Eve, we went out. For New Year's Eve, we had a pretty awesome New Year's Eve experience. I had a connection at Dominic's Steakhouse in Scottsdale. We were able to get 12 people in upstairs with the by the pool last minute on New Year's Eve, and it was fantastic. Actually, the president of STK was at our table. I still don't quite know why he was at Dominic's instead of us going to STK and why I had to pull the rabbit out of the hat for us to go to Dominic's rather than the president of STK. Just, why don't we have a private room at your own restaurant, Cody? But anyway, maybe Cody, you want to come on? Let's talk about it. That'd be great. But anyway, just one of the questions of the night for me. I don't know. It was great. It was a wonderful time. It was lovely, but I don't remember half of it. And I hate that. I hate that I don't remember half of it. And it bothers me that I was starting to lose time. I was starting to lose time that was important to me. And I was realizing how delirious or how deleterious this effect was having on my life. And I knew it had to go. So I, being in part of the Arete Syndicate and being mentored by Andy Frizella and Ed Milette, Andy came up with the 75 Hard program. And I had attempted that 3 times before and not been successful. And I listened to Andy's podcast quite a bit, Real AF with Andy Frizella. It used to be the MF CEO podcast. And he would talk about his struggles with depression. And that's one of the another inspiring forces behind the podcast because he would talk, he was vulnerable and he was honest. This is one of the most successful men I've ever met. You know, he runs a 9-figure business, a yearly 9-figure business internationally. He has all the cars I've ever even dreamed of, plus another garage. He has, you know, an amazing wife. They have a great relationship, super successful. And he has been willing and vulnerable enough to be honest about his own struggles with mental health and depression. And to get through that, to even find a way that worked for him, he came up with 75 Hard. And I knew that really, even by my own doctor's admonitions of looking at my blood enzymes, my liver enzymes, my blood work, that I couldn't continue going down this path. I was going to end up divorced, alone. I was alienating my entire family. I was angry all the time. I was depressed. And I was really unhealthy. In fact, he said, I had some cardiac markers that were showing that within 2 years, I was going to have some type of a cardiac event, such as a stroke or heart attack. And I was headed for cirrhosis of the liver. So Meredith, you want to jump into what 75 Hard is and
what
the program entails and how do you do it?
Yeah, it's fantastic. So for 75 days, there's a list of things that you do for every day. And if you fail on any of those things, you have to start over the 75 days. So you read 10 pages of a self-improvement book. You drink a gallon of water. You have two 45-minute workouts every day, and one has to be outdoors. And then you take a progress pic every day and no alcohol, and you have to commit to some sort of diet or it can be anything that you choose. Like we're counting our macros and making sure that everything fit in line with that, but it can really, you design your diet to be whatever you need and want. So is that everything?
Yeah.
Get everything?
Yeah. Yeah. And in picking those things, like when you get to pick a diet, you get to pick whatever one you want. Most people pick the easiest one. And probably for...
did you do?
The first time you do 75 Hard, it's probably... You can customize it to how hard or easy... It's not easy at all. There's nothing easy about it. But sometimes there's questions that come up and people ask Andy, hey, can I eat this on my diet? And basically his answer typically is, if you have to ask, the answer is no. But typically, the harder you can make the program, the more self-improvement you'll have over that period of time.
Now, can you Joe Rogan it and do a carnivore diet?
So, yeah. So you mentioned what kind of diet I had. Carnivore diet? Yeah, you totally can.
You can.
You can, but
you can't cheat.
If you pick that carnivore diet as your diet, you can have no cheat meals for 75 days.
That's intense.
Right.
Honestly. Yeah. If anybody's been on a diet before or tried to stick with a program without a cheat day, a week is a long time.
Right. And so this is a physical program that is designed to actually have the greatest impact on your mental health possible. And it's by using your physical body to change your brain and to change your chemistry. And the one of the hooks for me was I was listening to a podcast of Andy on it one day, and he said, this is the fastest way to fix your whatever's wrong with you. It's the fastest way, whether you're depressed or whether you're anxious or whether you're indecisive or you're not moving. Fastest way to fix what you have going on and the problems you have is 75 hard. And I said, I need that. I have to fix what's going on in my life right now. I need that outcome now more than ever. And I need to be sharper and stronger than I've ever been. I have to save my family. I need to save my relationship with my wife. And I need to become healthy. And so we started January 3rd. I stopped drinking January 1st. And then January 3rd, we started 75 hard.
Nice.
And this time, we finished it.
Yeah. We I was seeing it. Each day you were posting on your Instagram. You know, each day you would post like this day got done, this day got done. I remember when we first initially talked about doing this podcast, you had mentioned to me that when you got to, I think it was day, you always struggled when you got to day like 32 or something like that.
17, 18. No, it was the third week was the toughest.
Okay.
Yeah. And the three times I tried that before though. Yeah. The furthest I think I had gotten was day 24.
Okay. That's what it was.
Yeah.
Yeah, but I remember once you got past that day, I had messaged you on Instagram, and I was like, you just beat your old record.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
That was beautiful, too, the people that would chime in and cheer me on or send encouraging messages or, you know, reflections like that. It helped. It was great.
Yeah.
You know, and it was great. It was wonderful.
It was great, too, to do it together because we could meal prep together. And, you know, there's times when we'd get home from a long day and being out or whatever, and it's 11 o'clock and it's like, dang it, we have to work out.
Did you do this as well?
Yeah.
Nice.
Yeah.
Okay.
So, and
what were the biggest benefits you saw from us doing the program?
Real quick, did you guys do the same diet?
Yeah.
Okay.
So, yes, but well, we did, but like my macros were set differently than his because gotcha. I mean, obviously we're not the same size.
And does the 75 hard come with a way to figure out your macros?
No.
Lonnie's.
I use my Fitness Pal.
Gotcha.
Yeah. I use my Fitness Pal. Essentially, gotcha. The generic way I did it was I need to stay under 2,200 calories a day, no matter what.
Gotcha.
And I need to get 200 grams of protein a day. Period. And between that, carbs and fats can kind of fall where they may. And so that way I wasn't like, you know, if it was 30 days and I needed to eat a piece of bread, I wasn't breaking my diet because I just couldn't get through without eating a piece of bread. But if I ate four pieces of bread, I was going to be over on my macros. And so I couldn't do that.
Yeah.
You know, but so the first, how do you feel like this went as far as like the segments, you know, like for me, there was a really hard part of 75 hard, a fairly easier part of 75 hard, another hard part of 75 hard. And then there was the finish line you could see. And it was like, okay, I can get there.
Mm-hmm. Sounds like it was hard.
It was ridiculous.
Yeah, no, it was. And like you said, there were moments that were harder than others. I feel like around, I don't know, the third week or so, that was kind of hard. Well, goodness, even the first couple of weeks, just getting into the routine of like, we got to work out twice a day and nailing drinking a gallon of water.
One of them's outside.
That was hard. Yeah, one's outside.
Even if there was a thunderstorm that we were running in.
Running in the rain. Because
we had to do, and Meredith's like, we better hurry. And I was like, why? We got to do 45 minutes no matter what. Like, and we have to do it outside. So it doesn't matter if we hurry or not. If the storm hits, we got to do 45 minutes. Yeah. And it was a pretty violent storm. I mean, there was a little bit of hail. There was strong winds. Was lightning everywhere.
But that's when you know you're committed, you know?
Yeah.
Well, and that's one of those forging processes right there, right? That takes mental toughness to do that. Mm-hmm. And after having gone through something hard like that, you can reflect upon that and it gives you self-confidence moving forward too. And it helps you know you can begin to trust yourself. Whereas I had lost a lot of that trust in myself, a lot of that confidence of self.
And I think that was hugely motivating too. And us not failing, I think we both knew like, we have to do that. Like we have to do this because mm-hmm. his mental state got so low and just destructive. And
how did you describe me?
Oh man.
Just throw it right out there. It's all good. That's the way it was.
very depressed, super on edge. Like the littlest thing would set you off where, like I felt like at times, like I couldn't say anything right. I couldn't be nice enough. I couldn't like,
I remember you telling me that everybody felt that way though too.
Yeah.
Even when I felt like
I
was able to compartmentalize that and not take it out on the kids.
Right.
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 Yeah. And even you, I mean, we had some awesome fights, awesomely horrible fights, but
right.
You know, they were,
right.
They were really pretty
hard.
Epic.
Yeah. Really hard. And you know, just hearing Andy talk about like, this is the fastest way to change your mental state. I was like, hey, that's what we need.
Now,
that's what we need.
I will tell you.
The 75. Oh, go ahead.
I was going to say, I will tell you, for the first 3 weeks, I wanted to kill everybody I saw. Not really. Not literally. But I was triggery. I was snappy. And I think it was alcohol withdrawals.
Yeah.
Like benzos and alcohol are the two drugs you cannot just cold turkey stop because you can die.
Yeah.
You usually need to have medical assistance to withdraw from those. And I don't know. I guess I was in a state where I was like, I die. I can't keep going, and I got to do this program. And it was hard. And I think that actually added how hard it was because I was going through withdrawals and all that. But around like day 32, man, it was like on cruise control. Our diet was dialed in. The workouts were happening. Everything was working together. It was helping us. I could feel us growing closer because we were doing this together and had to prioritize time. There was dates where we would go eat a low carb meal and then we would go on an hour walk and then we'd come home and go to bed and they were awesome. But, that was only because we're on 75 hard that we did those things, but it was
and
amazing.
Probably like around day, I don't know, 50, 60, we were so sore. Like our bodies were so sore from lifting every day and like doing our walks, the runs, whatever. Like,
yeah, my shoulders started to give me problems and my knees started hurting. Yeah.
Yeah.
And your back started to hurt again. Mm-hmm. Right. And I think the newness of the program had worn off. The adrenaline's gone. Like it started to get really hard around day 56, 57. It was tough. And then, but then again, once you kind of rounded that corner off and you got into the 60s, realized I got less than 2 weeks.
Yeah.
I can do this. I've done this for 2 months. I can do 2 more weeks.
Yeah.
Right. And then when you're done, it's like, I just did this. It was amazing. I can do other hard things in my life.
100%.
Right?
Like start a podcast.
And that's exactly why we're here.
Yeah.
You get to where you feel so good too that you want to continue those healthy habits because you just feel good.
In fact, I was kind of scared to stop doing 75 hard because I didn't. So what were some of the benefits you saw?
You were happy.
No, I meant for you.
For me.
Let's talk about you.
Well, I'm in the best shape of my life. Like I have 7 kids and I feel amazing. My mental clarity is better. Like I don't have brain fog anymore, which I largely contribute to also getting my hormones fixed.
Well, last night you mentioned I've always wanted to have good arms.
Oh, right.
And then I noticed somebody across the restaurant that was a guy that had good arms. So I went over and said, "Hey man, I've been looking at your guns all night. I wondered like, what's your program? What are you doing?" And he told me, but his girlfriend was like, "Oh my gosh, that's so funny because the whole night I've been telling him how much I was loving your wife's arms." And I told him back and told Meredith, "Hey Meredith, check this out."
Yeah, that was fun. Yeah. But I feel great. I feel strong. I feel like I have more energy. I just feel good. And I loved like the reading 10 pages a day of like a good book. Like I didn't take the time to sit and read before, you know, I was so caught up in
We got to wrap up here real quick. Okay. So, I was going to say, I just want to kind of recap to you. I lost 23 pounds and I lost about 10% body fat. I am the strongest I've probably ever, well, I'm almost the physically strongest I've ever been in my entire life. As far as like bench press, squat, deadlift maxes. I have the best body composition I've ever had, but mentally, I can feel the difference. And the other day at work, I was working with Dr. B and we were both in office together and they were helping each other with ideas and treatment planning. And there were a couple patients that we wanted to help each other with second opinions on. And we had such a great vibe in the office. Even the patients started commenting on it. Man, it just feels so good to be in here, guys. You guys are so great. This is such a great environment. We weren't getting those comments last month, you know, in December, we weren't getting those comments. And we weren't getting those comments a year ago either. And I asked him, I was like, "What do you think the difference was?" And he says, honestly, you, like, you're better now. And people can feel that. And it, so, you know, really, if, and this isn't to pat myself on the back for, hey, look what I did. The reason I wanted to speak to this is to say, if I can get through this and do it, it was hard for me. It was hard for me to do this. If I can do it, you can do it. And it will change your life. And that program is a game changer. And it is the fastest way to correct if you have depression, if you have anxiety, if you have failure to launch, if you're afraid, you don't know what to do in your life. If you have indecision about career paths, do 75 hard. It'll come to you. If you do it right and you don't cheat. Again, I just want to emphasize, as you're doing 75 hard and really as you're living your life, don't cheat yourself. No one's checking off the list to make sure you did everything. No one's checking up on you to see if you're being assertive or intentional in your life. This is your life. It's the only one you have. Don't cheat yourself. Tune in next time. Thank you for listening.